Good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and we hope that you're having a great new year and a great start to a new year, and we just are excited that we can come to you through Facebook, through YouTube, through our website, through the Boxcast app on your Apple and Roku TV, and this is a new year, guys, and even though it may seem dark outside and gloomy and wet and cold, it's sunshine and sun is shining, and those who are in Christ Jesus, you know, when we talk about when he was in this world, there was light in the world, but as he's taken out, he's in royal exile today, that the world is dark. But you and I, as believers in the body of Christ, can be a light in this dark world. Now, just a couple of prayer requests and praise items. There's many people sick out there. Many loved ones are sick. Many people's bedridden with flus, with the virus, and all kinds of stuff. So we just need to keep and lift them up in thought and prayer. As this is a bad season, it always is. So just keep that in thought and prayer. Keep our website in thought and prayer. Keep our ministry in prayer. As you know, we was in the Canton Maslin area for 15 years, and where we was meeting, they closed it down due to COVID-19, and we're not sure if we ever get back in there. So instead of just sitting around twiddling our thumbs, not doing anything, we're in the Cambridge, Ohio area, and meeting here in a location that could sit 20, 30, 40, 50 people if you wanted to, reconfigure things. So if you know somebody's looking for a church in the Cambridge area or Southeast Ohio that's needing to know a good Bible church, and we encourage you to call us or email us or and all, just to say hello, just to say, hey, I'd like to come, or just you know, just be here with us. We'd love to see you. You can support us in www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, and that's where we're at. You can see us live right now. So as we continue that, let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for things you've given us. As we think about our loved ones and think about the things of the ministry, that we lift everything up to you, and in doing so, it gives us peace. And that's what we're looking for in this dark world, Lord, is just peace that surpasses all understanding. You give that through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Be turning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, if you will. Now, we're in lesson 12, and we're using through the Bible in 7 hours. And this is lesson 12, so you know we're gone long over 7 hours. But we're breaking things down because this is a prelude to understand the Bible, the dispensational view. Now, we are dispensationalists. Dispensationalist is God-breathed word. You find it in the King James Bible, the inherent, infallible word of God that we use. So when we think about the way God, you know, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way God has dealt with man has changed. You know, that's why dispensations, God is a dispensation. He's dealing out different dispensations. We looked at the promise. We're looking at the law. We're looking at the but now, or grace. And then we looked at ages to come. That's a threefold division in God's word. This is a chart or a timeline of God's word in your Bible. The Bible from cover to cover is a timeline, okay? And the main thing, don't forget about this, the main thing of this Bible is about authority over the entire universe, not just here on this earth. You know, people fight all the time about who's in authority, and a lot of people don't like authority. But God's main thing of the Bible is sitting on a throne over the entire universe, heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So we're working through this, and just, you know, we're going to it not fast, but we will go through some things that are called fundamentals of dispensationalism after we go through the Bible, and basically what we're going over now, and we're going to take our time and walk all the way through the Bible in a dispensational view. So that's very, very important to understand why God has done some things. So we're in lesson 12, and the last lesson, and you can get all these lessons, go back on our website, you can go all through them, and we're in lesson, and we began last lesson about the three pivot points in the book of Acts. So we're in the book of Acts right here. So I'm going to close this chart up just for a second, because this is your Bible in prophecy. Okay, you always saw that little advertisement. This is your, and they have an egg frying. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. That type of thing. Well, this is your Bible in the prophetic program, and 90% of your churches out there are all mixed up in this prophetic program, and they want to think you're in a time of wrath, but you're not. So this is the timeline, and we're in the book of Acts right here. Okay, that's where we're at, and there's three pivot points in the book of Acts that we really need to be knowledge of, an understanding. We looked last lesson about the outpouring of the Spirit. And then there's an outbreak of against Stephen, and then the outgoing to the Gentiles. We also went through the first of the outpouring and of the Holy Spirit. And that's about the coming of the Holy Spirit was a national promise which held the prospect of a kingdom, okay, blessings. It was associated with Israel's coming of their kingdom and the inauguration of a new covenant. So this promise of the Holy Spirit that everybody says you need to get in Acts chapter 2 to be saved, it was prophesied over here. And it's going to get them through and understand how to get through this tribulation period into a kingdom program. So that is nothing new. We looked at that last lesson. Now we're going to look at number two of the three pivot points, the outcry against Stephen. I told you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 6. Now Acts chapter 6, we find a man called Stephen. Go to Acts chapter 6 verse 5. It says, And the saying pleased the whole multitudes, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And they list several more. There are actually seven there, and they become deacons and all that. Well, look at verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8. This is going to talk about Stephen for a second. And Stephen, full of the faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then they arose certain of the synagogue, which was called the synagogue of the Libertarians, the Cretans, the Alexandrians, and of those of Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Okay? Well, these Jews would do that because what Stephen's telling them, they didn't like. Then it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. That's the power of God. Okay, people will dispute you all the time, but when you use the word of God, they had to fight against God. Okay, you can just stand out of the way. But look, then they, stubborn men, which said, we have heard him speak blaspheming words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and called him and brought him to the council. So they gathered Stephen up and they're taking him to a senate, if you will. They're going to have an impeachment hearing, per se. And then he said, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses was delivered. Now, it's church time here, or excuse me, crunch time, if you will, for all the Senate of the children of Israel. So now they went all through this time period. They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came. They got 1 year here. It's been 1 year from the time Acts chapter 1 to where we're at here in Acts chapter 6 and soon to be Acts chapter 7. 1 year. And what did we learn last time about a fig tree? The Lord was ready to cut that fig tree down because Israel was not producing fruit. So the guy said, hey, Lord, just give us 1 year. And if it don't bear fruit, then you can cut it down. This is that year. And what are they doing against Stephen? It says right here, it says verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So this guy, Stephen, is full of the Holy Ghost, a face of an angel. And if you think about this for a second, the special message from God to confront the nation Israel, did you know Moses over here, their leader, their lawgiver, Moses, that most of the churches out there today follows that law that God gave Moses, and his face was shining when he was given the law. So these council leaders, these Senate leaders, these House of Representatives for Israel are looking upon Stephen and seeing his face shining. It's probably, you know, getting their gears rolling a little bit, their cogs, you know. But look, if you read chapter 7 all the way down through, we're going to verse 51, he starts to go over the history of the Jews, the nation of Israel. He shows them about Abraham. He tells them about Isaac. He tells them about Joseph and Jacob, Jacob and Joseph, then Moses and David. He's going through all their history, what God was doing through the nation Israel. That's why they're up here on this top line up here. Us Gentiles, we're down here on this bottom line, okay? And we done went through some things about how a Gentile was saved in times past. You had to go through the nation Israel. And then he said this, verse 51. Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so ye do ye. Which of the prophets had not found fathers prosecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. You who have received the law and the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Uh-oh. You see what he did? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised. That wasn't a good thing to say to them, okay? When they're stiff-necked, they don't want to see anything. They don't want to hear anything. And uncircumcised, oh, that was a bad thing for Israelites. So but Israel right here commits the unpardonable sin. Now, you probably heard that phrase and terminology most of your young life as a Christian believer. Yeah, unpardonable sin, okay? You know what the unpardonable sin is, and you're getting ready to see it. Just a second. Be turning to Matthew chapter 12. A lot of people says if you commit the unpardonable sin today, you cannot be forgiven. Well, we're going to see that a little bit. But could we go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Look at this. Verse 31. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blaspheme shall be forgiven unto men, but the blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Think about what he just said. You blaspheme against the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, it shall be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven to you in this world, that's what they're talking about, or neither the world to come. over here. That's the world to come. Now, the progression of Israel's guilt is a response to God's threefold call of repentance. John the Baptist, a man sent from God. You cannot not see this and not understand what we're getting ready to talk about, how Israel has fallen, okay? And they, what did the nation Israel do to God's, God sent John the Baptist, a representative of God the Father. They sent him, John the Baptist. He says, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, okay? What did they do to him? The kingdom of heaven's at hand. They cut his head off, okay? Strike one. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son himself. What did they do to him? We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. Strike two. Now, that's God the Father, God the Son, and now they're working on the God the Holy Spirit. He gave them 1 year. And God the Holy Spirit, and what are they getting ready to do to Stephen? You're getting ready to find out, but now they murder Stephen. But look at this. I might be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but he said, if you forgive, you can blaspheme against the Son of Man. Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God the Father answered that prayer. He did forgive them for that. And you're getting ready to see some things because Peter and Stephen all said you did it ignorantly when they crucified him. The Son of Man forgave them, but when they blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, that's not good. That's what blaspheming is. Verse 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. We're going to read down through 56. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. These guys, these Senate, this Congress of Israel was so mad that they was like, ugh. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So at this point right here, Stephen's getting ready to die. He looks up into heavens. Jesus Christ is standing on the right hand of God, where he's at now. Okay, where he died was ascended above heaven. Well, we're getting ready to see above heaven. He's in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. He stands up. That's not good. He's standing up. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is the same thing. Acts chapter 2, verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstools. Therefore let all the house of Israel know certainly that God had made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So where is he at? He's in heaven, sitting over, until he makes thy enemies thy footstool. Okay, that's what Psalms 110 verse 1 talks about. It makes it clear that the only reason for Jesus to be standing, okay, and that is to initiate the day of wrath over here. That's what's coming down the pike for Israel. So when Israel's timeline takes off, like that peanut man sitting on a track, his heart was full of flutter, around the bend, number 10, toot, toot, peanut butter. They're on a train track right here, Israel is, and they're going through here, and they should have recognized everything that God was doing, should by faith acknowledge that, trust that, and now they're going into the wrath period. Okay? This is not going to stop. It's coming upon them. Look at Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 15. No, excuse me, verse 13. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. We're going to see some verses here about him standing up and judging the people. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. Verse 13. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Chapter 3, verse 1. And he showeth me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Chapter 7, verse 6. Arise, O Lord, in thy anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies, and awake for me to them to the judgment that thou hast commanded. Chapter 9, verse 19. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Over and over and over. That's the outcry of the against Stephen. So they're crying against him, and Stephen's like, okay. And they stoned him, what they do. And that's not good. Now, we move on to number 3 here. Number 3. The outgoing to the Gentiles. Something's going to change here that's not been prophesied in times past. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is Paul the Apostle talking to Timothy here. Who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was a blasphemer. This is Paul himself. And a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Paul's talking about he is the chief of sinners here. Because look, what did he do? He blasphemed. He was a murderer. What do we know about blasphemers? Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. Verse 16. Howbeit for this cause, the cause that he was a blasphemer, the cause that he was a sinner, cause why Jesus Christ came in to save sinners, I obtained mercy that in me first, you should underline that, in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern, should have that underlined, to them which should hereafter, should have that underlined, before believe in him to life everlasting. That is a big statement, guys. Be turning to Ephesians chapter 3. That is something you really need to think about when you're thinking about Paul as just a normal apostle. No, he and him first. Well, I don't want to open up a chart yet, but look. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, that's us, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, that's that word dispensation, of the grace of God, not the promise, not the law, not the kingdom, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when he stand, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his powers, unto me whom I am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Those verses that we just read, who is the grace giver here through Jesus Christ? Paul. Who's the law giver that we looked at before? Moses. And for this reason that we're talking about, the prophesied day of wrath, when the Lord Jesus Christ stood up, he's getting ready to pour out the day of wrath on Israel and on the world, basically. Guess what? It did not arrive. Go to Romans chapter 11. Now, we're looking at a timeline by chance. And what do you see here? You see the prophetic program. Where is this postponement? Where is this day of wrath that Paul's talking about that it has not come yet? Okay? It's right here, guys. This is the prophecy program right here. This is where you and I in 2021 are standing in the grace of God. We're not standing over here where wrath is getting ready to pour out over here. We're not in this time period right here waiting. Okay, you're not going to go through this tribulation period, despite what many of you believe, despite what many of you are thinking about, okay? We are not there. We are in a time period right here, and that's why we're going through the Bible. And if you can really understand where you're at in the dispensation of grace, God is not pouring out wrath. God is pouring out grace and peace. Okay? He's not pouring out war and tremble and just all kinds of turmoil. No, we bring it upon ourselves. Okay? God is in Christ reconciling the world and not imputing trespasses and sin to death. That should wake a lot of people up. Okay? Especially a non-believer. Because in all reality, you have a conscience inside of you that's pointing, wanting to know what God is doing, okay? And you always probably feel, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be able to meet that standard. I'm never going to be did. Well, guess what? You never will in yourself. Many of you know I do or try to do CrossFit, you know, and I'm getting up in age, And I watch these younger guys and gals, you know, they're just doing motions and doing all kinds of stuff. I'm like, wow. You know, I've learned from these guys what to do, what not to do, really. But I'm thinking, in my young man, I'm wanting to do the same thing. In all reality, I can, but I can't do the same way. Okay? But I'm not afraid to learn. And what I'm going with this is the fact that you and I today can be doing things in Christ Jesus and Christ in us, and we make a world of difference. Okay? I told you to go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled? Now this is Paul talking to the nation Israel, the same little flock over here, and he's explaining some things to them. And he goes, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Paul is making a big to-do about his apostleship that he got not from walking with Jesus and the 12. He got it from the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. And now he's obtaining a new apostleship. You got to remember what he say about I'm a blasphemer. And what was the unprodigal sin? You know he was right here holding the coats of the ones that stoning Stephen. He was a part of that. And in all reality, and all what God was doing in time, he would not have forgiven that man. Okay? He was on his way to hell, if you will. Acts chapter 9. I might be going a little fast, but there's some very big information in there that I just said, if you caught that. If not, we'll go over it again. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Now, Israel's program over here was to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then the Gentiles. Okay? And if you know the law, a Jew was not to go amongst the Gentiles. In fact, Matthew chapter 10, Lord Jesus Christ told the 12 not to go in the way of the Gentiles. Okay? Paul is being told to go to the Gentiles and the kings and the nation Israel. You see that? It's opposite. It's reverse. Acts chapter 26. Verse 15. Paul's giving an account of what he did back over here. Verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Now, when he was struck down on the road to Damascus, he looked up in the midday sun. You know, as bright as that midday sun is, the glory of God shone brighter than that. That's what blinded him. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He knew who God was. He knew who the God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this Lord Jesus Christ, he had threatening letters in his hand to anybody that preached that, going to jail. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things which I will appear unto thee. So from the time he sees this to for more revelations that God will give Paul. Verse 17. 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is what his mission was, to turn you from darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto the God. Listen, I want to show this with you. Ephesians chapter 3. We got between now and the catching away to go through this. But I don't know if you ever saw this. It's been in your Bible since, 400 years plus. In the English Bible. It's been longer than that in God's Word ever since Paul penned this, 2,000 years. But look at this for a second. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your finger there in Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to Acts 13. I don't want to lose my train of thought because you need to see what's going on here. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. He's, talking to the Jews here. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Acts 18. Verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was oppressed in his spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto you, your blood be upon your head, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Hey, for the first time in God's creation, since he's spoken the word of God and laid it out for a timeline, salvation has gone to us Gentiles. Outside of the law. Outside of being a part of Israel's program. And what I was want to show you with in Ephesians chapter 2, and I talk about turning darkness into light, turning you from the bound of Satan to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 right quick. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Well, verse 1 says, and he hath, that's a done deal, past tense, already happened, quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye were walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's all of us. From the time we was born, we was walking in that. Look, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Hey, that's not good. That's a personal disconnect from God the Creator. Okay? What about dispensationally? Look at verse 11. And we'll get into this big time. Remember that in times past, verse 11, chapter 2, Ephesians, wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Remember, circumcision, uncircumcision. Jew, dogs. Israel, Gentiles, nation, Gentiles. Got that? There's a name calling going on. That at that time, times past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's not good, guys. People today are still acting that way. People today needs to hear some things. But you know something? Time, things has changed. The but now has arrived. We was in times past where there was a distinction between Jew and Gentile. Okay? You had to become a Jew, a proselyte, to get to God, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today, but now, things has changed. That's the outgoing of the outpouring of the Gentiles, outgoing to the Gentiles. Thank God, hallelujah. Because I couldn't do what they was doing over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's a performance-based system. And if any of us know what a performance-based system is, you know that that we cannot do that. We can't do it. It's on that treadmill. There's one upstairs. You know, and you're like starting out, man, I can do this. 2 minutes into it, you know, I mean, they're going to slow us down or start walking. It hurts. And in my mind, I'm like, I want to give up. I want to stop. That's what that law did. That law pointed to you and said, guilty. But this is where the things are changing here. And the scriptures themselves and how this light line that works. This right here will work for you and I today in a dispensation of grace. This right here, keeping somebody tied up over here under a law system, will not work. I watched people that when we share this glorious gospel, the grace of God, they're so tied up and rooted in their religious system that they will be hell-bent to try to keep that and to prove to you that they're doing the right thing, and you watch them and they're stumbling every day. They're stumbling. They cannot keep up. It's better to rest in something that it's already been done for you than try to do something that you cannot do. Now, I know the competitive spirit in you is like, I'm going to try. You can try to work your way to heaven all day long. It ain't going to work. Okay? It's not going to do it. But once you know who you are and what you trusted to get to heaven, hey, you can go glory in that and you can do all kinds of things in Christ Jesus. And the scriptures themselves, through Paul, provide us an outline of the events covered in the book of Acts. We just read in Romans chapter 11, 13, that Israel stumbled, but they did not fall. 2, Israel does fall. Go back to Romans so you'll know where I'm at. Romans chapter 11, so you see this. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall. They stumbled, but they did not fall. Then you read, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Israel does fall, and it results in salvation going to the Gentiles. And 3, now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them be the riches of Gentiles, how much more the fullness? Israel diminishing phrase following the book through the book of Acts. Listen, you got to understand the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. Don't base your doctrine out there. I'm watching some people out there today that was true Bible believers that preached the Word of God, rightly divided, among the best. And I'm watching them take the book of Acts, and they're basing their doctrine out of that and starting to follow some strange other doctrines, which is not strange. I got 25,000 videos upstairs, and I'm watching stuff that's happened 25, 30 years ago, and it's people's teaching it like it's brand new today. You do not base your doctrine in a book of Acts, okay? Because of this reason right here. The book of Acts explains why Israel falls, why they diminishing. And if you're basing your doctrine on that, guess what? You're going to fall. You're going to diminish. You're not going to understand what God is doing. We got a couple more minutes. Thank you for standing by. But look, the stumbling. Notice that Israel stumbled but did not fall. Go to Romans chapter 9. I believe Romans chapter 9 is a dispensational books or chapters within Paul's dispensational writings of grace. And he's talking to a saved Israelite, okay? And he tells them, verse 33, as is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Where did God lay out a stumbling stone, a rock of offense for the nation Israel? It's right here at the cross. See? Right here where they stumbled. And because Israel was not walking by faith, some did, but Israel as a whole, okay, are supposed to work through this as a whole. Many people did, but not as a nation. Their leaders didn't follow it. Their Senate, their council, their House of Representatives did not follow what God laid out there. That's why when we talk about Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene here, they didn't recognize him. Some did. He was going right down the scriptures, the right track, laying it out for them. And what he did over here, as we notice, and we already looked at this, Luke chapter 12, verse 32 says, it is my Father, Jesus Christ talking to the little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give to you, talking to the nation Israel, talking about that little flock, that believing remnant, to give the keys to the kingdom. Oh, that tore that government up. I can think of some current things, situation the last 4 years, how someone's going against the Senate and the Congress and against the deep state and all that stuff, and he says, I'm giving it to the American people, not over here. Oh, it's tearing them up. You know, they're same thing. I'm not saying that our president is anywhere near the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's the way of the world. But keep moving. They stumbled right here. And they should recognize Christ as their Messiah and stumbled. And the reference of her rejection and crucifixion of Christ, yet although Israel stumbled, she was not set aside at the cross. That's why a lot of people, when they think about dispensational truths and stuff, they say, oh, the church started right here at the cross. No, it didn't. It was by the cross. Things happen, but it didn't happen at the cross because we just went through 1 year extension of Israel's program that God was letting the little flock work through the nation to make that kingdom offered to them. And Pentecost and the early Acts period are neither in the but now nor a record of beginning of the body of Christ. People tells you all that time. One of the greatest confusion, one of the greatest blunders, if you will, of the church is to say it began in Acts chapter 2. And that the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace started there. But you just realize it did not. They're still out here working amongst the Jews and amongst the nation and trying to get them there. There's no dispensation of grace there. Pentecost, as we much looked at a while ago, was no secret, guys. And if you talk to people all the time, they think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread Pentecost is here. Pentecost is here. We got to get back to the days of Pentecost. We read that, what was going on at Pentecost. We read that they sold everything they got and brought it to the apostles. Have you done that? No, you have not done that. You wouldn't give that stuff up. But rather, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and get Ephesians chapter 3. Acts chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. We're going to compare some things right now. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Spoken since the prophet Joel, was not made known. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and Romans 16. Now this is where you're going to start having to be a Bible believer. Not believing what man tells you, but believing what you see on the words of the page. God is inspired. God spoken this word. It's his inspiration. And it's been preserved. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Something spoken by his mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You got it? Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. What Paul is writing is something was kept secret since the world began. Prophecy, the mystery program over, prophecy is something spoken since the world began. Something kept secret, something spoken. Acts chapter 3. And get Colossians chapter 1. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as has spoken, likewise foretold of these days. That's what prophecy does. They foretold of these days. Not this day right here. That's what we're looking at. We're starting to butt now. We're talking about Israel's fallen. This time period right here was not spoken of. Colossians chapter 1. Let me finish this thought right here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Stay in Acts chapter 3. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. This mystery which had been hid from ages could not be found. That's what we're talking about. But something was spoken. Go to Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Ye are the children of the prophets and the covenants of which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Okay? You have something over here waiting to happen, the covenants of the fathers, and being blessed of the earth. Now you have received the covenant. I probably should stop right there because we're going into Pentecost and Jewish days. But what I wanted to show you in this lesson 12 is that Israel starts to stumble. They stumbled at the cross. They start to fall. And then they're going to diminish down here. And by Acts 28, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. In the body of Christ, okay, it does not benefit you to be a part of a nation that God says they've been blinded. Well, look at these verses. That God said they have fallen. So today in the dispensation of grace, God is not forming a nation on this earth. He's forming a body of believers that's going to be positioned in the heavenlies. And when we're taken out of here, which is another mystery program, a lot of people don't believe in the catching away. They believe they're going right in this wrath situation, which God, through Paul, tells me that I'm saved from the wrath to come, you know, in Jesus Christ. There's no wrath in Jesus. There's no terror in Jesus. There's no that type of thing. So this is what God is doing today. And so next week, when we pick up, we're continuing talking about the Pentecost as a Jewish feast day. And we're talking about Israel was not set aside yet. But we're going to continue talking about this fall. Okay? But until then, if you never trusted Christ, that he came to this earth and he died and was buried for your salvation, that's all you got to do. You trust that plus nothing else. You cannot work for it. And today is a day of salvation. And even though he died almost 2,000 years ago, it's by faith that we identify ourselves with him. And when you put his death as your death, and his burial as your burial, and his resurrection as your resurrection, he saves you and seals you. Then you get in the Word of God. Hey, you just get in the Word of God and rest in that and know who your apostle is, and you start getting a doctrine of grace inside of you, it's going to make a difference. I still have fun out there. I don't sit there and cover my head and, oh, woe is me, and wrath is coming upon the world. No, this is a glorious time to be alive, to share the gospel of the grace of God. We're living in the best times we could ever live in. And I'd like to encourage you to think about that if you never trusted Christ died for your sins. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you like what you heard, some of you may not like what you heard, but still keep us up in thought and prayer. If you like to help us out in monetary things, you can go to our website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, push the donate button, and help us with the ministry. We do have some bills to keep this going. We like to encourage you once again, if you're in the southeastern part of Ohio, to come down and visit us, contact us. We'd love to see you. We have room here. If you need the space, we have space. We can put you out in the parking lot and I can wave to you. Just joking. But anyway, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what you're doing. We'd like to know how you are. And we have this platform today through Boxcast, the app. There's a little Boxcast app that you can get on your iPhone. You can also upload it to your Apple TV, your Roku. I think Fire TV may have it also. And upload that. You search Dispensational Bible Church, and boom, there we are. You can watch all the lessons in the past up to this point. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, and every time we come on, you will get live notifications that we're up and running. So right now we're just doing Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, nothing during the week. But well, I'd love to hear from you if you got questions and comments. But until next week, you have a great week, and knowing that Jesus is Lord, and grace and peace. And until then, we're out.